Summer 2021 is driving people to events and happenings, and Rorik Honda is a part of that drive. From parking lot shows hosting comedy acts to collaborations like we just did with Mancini's, filling a Mancini's bread into a Honda Civic, right? Anyways, that's what's happening.
Rorik certainly knows the importance of community fun. So head to Bloomfield with a trade-in and expect a mega summer deal. As always, visit Rorik.com for all of your vehicle needs. And now we start the Yajaga podcast from
Iron City Boulders.
Biatches.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word Jagoff is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define a word Jagoff. When someone cuts you off on a parkway. Jagoff!
Or someone scares the out of you.
Yeah, Jagoff!
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, Jagoff?
This is Mark Madden.
Hi, this is Larry Richard.
Hey, it's Rick Seaback.
Hi, this is Greg Brown.
Hi, I'm Tyler Kennedy.
This is Santonio Holmes.
And this is the Jagoff Podcast.
This is the Yajaga Podcast, and if you're listening for the first time, we ask that you go subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And but we'd like you to go to Odyssey to get the, because anywhere you subscribe, you're the first person to get it on around Monday afternoon when it comes out around 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right? I say 1 o'clock. Yeah.
Yeah. I always say 2 o'clock just a buffer.
Okay.
Just
for
in
Jeff.
Case, yeah.
Give Jeff a little time.
And the other thing would be is that if you're on iTunes, we'd appreciate it if you leave a comment. Mm-hmm. I know that seems like a laborious thing to do. It's really not.
It's not.
Just go on there, give it some stars, give us a comment, because it helps on the iTunes ratings.
Listen, you're probably sick of hearing us, but we're super excited. Our beer is here. We're happy to have it. Primanti's, the time's up. You have to go to Primanti's literally today to get your beer, or else you're SOL with the Primanti's beer. But it's going to be in other places, so we're super excited. Starting July 1st, you're going to be able to get our Yajagoff beer through North Country Brewing at other locations. TBD, right?
You're not going to say where?
Stay tuned. Go ahead.
Giant Eagle.
Boom!
So you'll be able to get the Yajagoff beer in its cans. Again, as you said, Primanti's limited selection, but then goes to Giant Eagle. And then in draft, if you own a bar and you want the Yajagoff beer in draft, we're not saying it tastes really good, but what we are saying is at the Bronze Hood,
we are saying that.
Not saying it tastes really good, but what we are saying is that at the Bronze Hood, we kicked the keg in 2.5 hours.
We did.
So I think it tastes really good.
Yeah, it does. I was worried, North Country Brewing. I thought we were getting the axe because John was like, we're not saying it tastes really good. Also, make sure that you're following along, and we are trickling with some Truly entries. So if you tag Truly Seltzer and you tag Yajagoff and you hashtag Yinzer, Truly Yinzer, one Y, Truly Yinzer, you could be a part of our Yinzer Olympics in July.
Right.
It's super
exciting. It's a
Pittsburgh
dive bar in Glenshaw, not Gibsonia.
Yeah.
And on top of that, we're starting our 2021 porch tour. We were lame on the porch tour because of something called COVID last year. But as you know, you send us a picture of your porch, we might bring this podcast to your porch. And it's not about us coming to your porch.
No.
It's about the J&D waterproofing guy coming to sniff around and see if you have basement leaks, because that's our sponsor.
No, it's not.
And it's about all the prizes we bring.
Yeah.
Kennywood passes, Heinz History Center passes, Mancini's bread, Ernie Ritchie sausage,
Mary Mac Bakehouse.
So
pretty cool.
Lots of these.
All right, what was on the blog? Blue Jean Airhole, go.
Blue Jean Airhole. It's not the Elton John sing Blue Jean Baby, right? It was Blue Jean Airhole. So someone sent us a picture. As you know, every week on the blog, we post pictures of people being Jagoffs, right? Well, this person was in line behind a person that had jeans on. Jeans are fine. Jorts are fine. They wear jorts. But if you happen to have a hole in the back of your jeans, we suggest you probably wear underwear. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because this hole was about this big.
It was flesh.
You could see the person's butt. Mm-hmm. And that, you know.
I mean, need I say more?
Right.
And then I actually jumped in and wrote 2 blog posts this week. Slow down, your flight was delayed. All right, let me tell you something. My son actually found this really cool sign that said, slow down, you Jagoff. So we were like, how do we use that sign? It got so many shares, but did you pay attention to what the blog post was? Because you cared more about the sign, which is hysterical. But what we're finding out is, like, all of these airlines are closing their tickets. Like, sorry for you. And you literally are getting, like, an hour's worth of time to figure out that,
because they can't find people
to work. It's delayed.
They
can't find people to work. What the hell is going on? So that's a Jagoff move. But secondly,
This was my favorite.
And no one read it. I'm telling you. Right. Signed, sealed, and deliberate. Because, essentially, this guy... Nobody liked
him.
He didn't do well.
This is why the blog exists. Yeah. Dumb criminals, stupid politicians. This is why the blog exists.
Yeah. So, you know, being on the school board, I know what it's like, you know, to serve. And this gentleman actually was on a school board, had a little bit of beef with different people, wasn't on any longer, wanted to run for tax collector, didn't get the nod, so he started stealing other people's signs so that they couldn't be a part of it either. And he actually got caught putting them in the back of his pickup truck and still was like, not me.
Denied.
Like,
he
totally
denied
was like,
it.
I didn't do this. Well, and it's like, you're holding the sign that says so.
So now he's running for sign collector.
Yeah, right. So I found it pretty comical that
was funny. Nice. Anyway. So anyways, that's what was on the blog. Okay, this week's podcast, we are at a very awesome place here.
Oh, my gosh.
And if you've never wanted to go rock climbing, believe me, you walk in and you go, oh, yeah, I could do that. Then you see people hanging upside down, and you realize my arms will never hold this beer gut.
Same.
So or anyways.
Badonkadonk. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You're like, I don't know if gravity is going to help this, but we're going to give it a whirl.
So welcome to the podcast, Dean Privet.
That's correct.
Yeah. All right.
Thank
cool.
Look at him.
Well, I didn't know if you were so popular that you Dorsetted us and you were Privet.
Yeah.
You're getting there.
Yeah. Privet. There was an E. I think Ellis Island dropped it.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it's like Privetti, because you're Italian, you admitted.
I look more Italian than I am, but I'm French, Irish, and Italian.
What a combo.
Right?
Wow.
A little bit of German, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So what's your favorite food?
Cool. Anything my wife makes.
Well done.
That's a really good
answer. Well done. That allows you to sleep peacefully at night.
Yeah, for sure.
She took over feeding me.
For sure. Well, smart woman. Listen.
But I just had a baby, and so now I have to learn how to do it.
Oh, how old's the baby?
8 months.
Oh, my gosh. That's such a good time.
And this gym is 6 months, so that tells you how my year
went. Oh, my God.
There you go. Colin and I were trying to figure out, like, how long. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It was a busy 2020. Despite everybody else stuck inside, I was...
You need to put yourself on one of those scales of high risk, right? Now you just need to buy a house and, you know, high stress.
I did open a gym in Orlando in September.
Okay.
Then I had a baby in October and then opened this in January. So,
See
the gray in my beard? It was not there in 2019.
It's understandable. You have to take us through, literally, we talked to you off camera because Colin and I have some longevity here in the Lawrenceville area. So I started to say at the beginning, all of us Pittsburghers relate to what used to be, right? Oh, it's where the blah, blah was,
correct.
You know?
Yep.
And so when we were coming through Lawrenceville, I said, it's near Thriftique. Well, it's Thriftique.
We're in Thriftique.
Yeah. So for people who really, you know, listen like we do, you literally turn into this massive parking lot, which obviously Dean will talk about is one of the reasons why he decided to be here. But Thriftique is now your neighbor because they moved over a little bit.
Yeah, I got really lucky with a landlord that is Goodwill. So actually Goodwill Industries did a 10-year lease to own on this building. And so there is an identical building directly behind us. And Goodwill went in and made it their Southwest PA headquarters.
Yes.
Brilliant.
And then they were just renting out this space here. They had their own Goodwill store, Thriftique, so they kind of had like the thrift little area happening. And then the space that we're actually sitting in was vacant. So we had one space that was empty. The other one was Allegheny Health Network. And I just realized how ideal this space would be for a rock climbing gym and actually cold called the building owner. Yeah, I went on LoopNet, found who owned it, looked on Google, found the phone number, cold called. Asked if they had any space, and just this one was available. And as you can see, not all of this would have fit in just here. So it wouldn't have worked out had Robert Stape, who's in charge of basically the complex, been creative and realized that Thriftique was actually looking to downsize a little bit.
Right.
So they had three spaces and wanted to go to two, and I wanted four. So it all worked out.
It
he moved the
karma.
Pieces around. And
wow.
Yeah.
I think you should have kept Thriftique's racks in here and done rack climbing.
Don't laugh.
Zing pal.
You don't have to. Right. You don't have to.
Oh, yeah.
So you told me that part of the reason was it's a rectangular building, right?
Really, it's just, the less you have to take out before you move in, the better.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Thriftique had, you're basically sitting in like the inventory section of Thriftique right now.
Okay.
They had a wall that split the place in half, so the front was retail, the back was storage.
Right.
All we had to do was remove a drywall wall, and if you look around,
Simple. The
building is, like, pristine. This space had never been used, so while it was 15 or 20 years old, however old the building is, the walls had never been touched, nobody painted anything, and I really like the industrial look. It kind of fits with our Scandinavian clean line theme, so the nice, beautiful concrete walls, So yeah, basically less is more when you're looking for a building.
And we want to talk about, obviously, you're living in Pittsburgh. So rock climbing in general is not something that like, hey, come to Pittsburgh to rock climb. So you have a history in it. But while we're sitting here, describe, obviously, you know, behind us that it's all sort of different dimensionals. So two things. One, you can have a membership here because it's more of a fitness thing, but not necessarily more of, because it could also be a destination, right? So that was sort of the commonality here, the thread that weaves it together.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think one, Western Pennsylvania is surprisingly an amazing rock climbing destination.
Okay.
But to the benefit of myself and most of these people, it's not overrun with rock climbers like Salt Lake City or Denver or California.
Right.
Our boulders are a little bit harder to find, a little bit more spread out, but the quality is truly amazing. So if you draw a circle 1 hour around the city of Pittsburgh, you'll hit climbable rock in every direction.
I did not know that.
And,
okay.
And you're permitted to climb those rocks?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's certainly some that are on private land that you need access or permission from the landowner to access. There are groups specifically, like there's one called the Southwestern PA Climbing Coalition, who specifically works on getting access for areas. But a lot of it's on state game lands. So there's just this weird little relationship that exists between hunters and climbers. Like you don't hunt on, or you don't climb on Saturdays. You try to climb on Sundays. You wear orange hats and stuff like that.
So there's rules,
but the state
like
game
anything.
Lands, there's unspoken rules.
Sure.
Okay.
But yeah, and then if you go even further south into West Virginia, the New River Gorge is recently a national park, but honestly, probably a top five climbing destination in the country, if not world.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So
look at you doing commercials for Wild and Wonderful.
Maybe they'll give me a cabin down there.
Yeah, right.
That's all I
ask. So take us through. Where you are a rock climber and this is your passion and you started a business about your passion, or were you obviously a very good physical specimen, but or were you into fitness and knew that this was a hole in the Pittsburgh market?
I was terrible at organized team sports and incredibly tiny in high school. So I was like 4'8", like 100 pounds.
Yeah.
So I played football and I weighed in at like my football number for 1 year and then was like, this isn't for me. So I started, just lifting in a weight room and exercising and I rode BMX and never really fit like kind of the basketball, baseball, football, Western PA mantra.
Right.
And it wasn't until I was a senior at Pitt that I actually took a rock climbing course. So I had to take a phys ed. It was one credit and I was like, oh yeah, I'll take rock climbing. That sounds cool. And that went on to shape my career somehow.
What was the first thing you realized about it? Do you remember like that class? Like, wow, this is hard for my arms, or this takes a lot of...
I know. It was more like, I'm good at this.
Oh, and instantly.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Well, I mean, I grew up exercising and weightlifting. Sure. My dad was on like a Penn Hills fitness team. So like when I grew up, I had to do push-ups during commercials.
Oh, God.
So I kind of had this like fitness background.
Gotcha.
And I weightlifted in high school. I won a bench press competition in 11th grade in Katanning or something. So I just always kind of done exercise, but not for any real purpose.
Sure.
And then when I found climbing, I was like, oh, well, this is actually like a functional use of this fitness I've gained. And I have a strong upper body. And so, yeah, I got pretty good pretty fast. But
That's
you
awesome.
Do realize that you hit like a wall with strength alone, and if you don't learn the technique and the appropriate way to do it, actually rock climbing is more about not using your arms. It's actually more about using your feet. So any beer gut or badonkadonk can actually get up the wall in this building because of the way that I designed it, which is actually to try to introduce people to climbing in this sport. And a lot of those, especially people from Pittsburgh, have similar thoughts that you did when you walked in the door, like there's no way I could do that. But really, the facility is designed in such a way that the majority of the terrain is actually less or is either vertical or less than vertical. So think of like a ladder. When you climb a ladder, you don't pull yourself up the ladder like you do on monkey bars, right?
Sure.
You actually just use your hands for balance and move your legs up. And like this wall right over here where that girl is climbing, and to the right of it, a lot of those walls are kind of a ladder angle. So it's more balance and technique. And if you see and you look around, the target demographic in here is really, it's 50-50 men and women.
Yeah.
So it doesn't target just strong upper body people like a lot of people think. And kind of our special sauce is the creation of the routes. So the way that the holds are oriented on the wall. What a lot of people don't realize is that this isn't permanent.
Yeah,
those colorful modular pieces on the wall, they come off every
week. He changes them.
So it's like moving the tee, or not the tee, the hole on a golf course, right?
Correct.
You can move.
Yeah, instead of three locations.
No, tell him your analogy.
3 million. Yeah.
I like your analogy better.
It's more
the cooking.
Yeah, it's more like the ingredients in a restaurant. And so I'm a chef. I have the ingredients, and then I put them together in a way that either makes something that's good or bad, or I mean, it's subjective, so somebody may like it or not.
Yeah.
But really what my specialty is basically taking rock climbing movement and technique and bringing it to even the easiest climbs. So if you come in here and climb, you're not just climbing ladders and getting a base level of fitness to then rock climb. You're learning rock climbing technique through the way that I oriented the holds on the wall.
And
it's really interesting for people. It's kind of like a puzzle. It's more of a puzzle than it is a physical challenge.
Yep.
So you'd be able to do a climb in here physically, but you'll fall off just because you didn't put yourself in the correct body position.
Sure. Okay.
And so people, especially, there are like certain minds that take to that. Like they want to solve a puzzle. They'll get like a vendetta. They're like, I have to do that one. Like, I know I can do that one.
Yeah.
And then you couple that with a finite amount of physical strength or endurance. And so somebody will take all day to figure out the puzzle and just run out of steam. And so they have to come back. And that's where it lends to, say, a membership. So people who like this sport enough that they want to come back a couple times a week to work on these puzzles will get a membership, and they can come in as many days as they'd like. Or they'll come in one time and try it. So we have day passes as well.
And I have a million questions.
Same,
right,
but listen,
now.
Let me just hold on. Hold on, because I talked to him before you. Tell him.
Grab the talking stick.
Tell him what the green is.
The yellows and the greens are the easiest, and the whites and the blacks are the hardest. So if you look at the color of the holds on the wall, they actually indicate an approximate level of difficulty.
That's exactly
so
what
my favorite color.
You can navigate the facility by when you come to the front desk, if it's your first time, it's like, thank you so much. We're happy you're here. Go try the yellows and greens. If you have some success on that, move towards the oranges. Of course, it's more elaborate than this, but it really helps kind of eliminate a barrier to entry or a hurdle that a lot of people associate with a sport like this. And I mean, climbing in general, previously, unless you knew somebody who rock climbed, who knew where the rocks were, who had the equipment to do it, how do you get into the sport of rock climbing?
Right.
And now that facilities like this exist, my goal and my whole reason I opened this was to introduce Yinzers to climbing, because I got introduced to it and it changed my life immeasurably for the better. And so I was like, how can I bring something like this to the city of Pittsburgh?
Right.
I love this. And so oh yeah,
that's
I will.
So
what I was going to ask is, it's like skiing. You have bunny trails and black diamonds, and what you just indicated is that.
Did everyone notice that John wanted everybody to know he skis,
but,
and I don't?
No, I haven't skied. But the other thing is that, do you make this like? Can you make the walls like a certain geographic region, like Western Pennsylvania has a certain kind of wall to climb versus East? God, say that. Say what
you're
just
about to say. It's a great question.
Boom! That's what he said.
It is not the wall, however. It is the physical handholds. So those handholds, a lot of them are shaped. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of different shapes out there, but some of them are specifically designed after either rock types or a specific handhold at an actual rock somewhere. For the most part, they're a little bit more just kind of organically designed and more about the function of, like, I need something that's easy to grab onto in this shape or harder. And then there's an aesthetic component as well. So trying to organize them and make them look aesthetic, which is one thing that I try to do a lot with the facility. So when you come in, you can be drawn to a specific climb just because of how those holds look arranged on the wall.
Does the membership include training, you know, for someone who literally, like, you have, you know, bouldering 101?
It's free for a member.
Okay.
But we also just try to make it a pathway to membership. So if you've never tried climbing, the bouldering 101 class is buy one, get one free, because it's always more fun to do this with a friend.
Sure.
And then we discount. Then we give you a 15-day pass. Where you can come back for 2 weeks. I think it's like a $25 add-on to the class. And so you're like a member for 2 weeks and see if you like it. And if you decide to then go the full mile, well, we waive the initiation fee. So
that's
it's
awesome.
Just like an avenue towards membership.
And the cool part, I mean, you have other things going on. Like you have, you know, somebody's over here on a treadmill and somebody's over here doing some weightlifting. And so you've really concentrated on the full fitness experience.
That's correct. I mean, there's two reasons for that. One, a lot of our clientele also like to cross train, like all of these people behind us lifting or rock climbers. And then we have treadmills for either warming up or just doing a cardio style workout.
Okay.
We have climbing specific training stuff. So for the kind of more hardcore climbers who are focusing on specific weaknesses, we have equipment specifically designed for that. And then what you can't see and that we're actually sitting above is a yoga studio. So it's almost a yoga studio. I just finished putting in the floor. But soon we'll have like a full, probably 6-7 day yoga offering. And what it does is it also just helps entice those people who are in the gray area of their fitness endeavors of, why have two memberships if I can do everything here?
Sure.
Specifically in
this
neighborhood.
That is true.
I love that, right? If I come here and I say, I'm going to try rock climbing and I don't like it, I don't have to walk away because you have all these other things.
So now we could come here after we kickbox yoga, walk. Right. I mean, we're going to be these health nuts.
And I love, listen, if you're a complete yinzer and you go, I don't like the park over there. Parking's not even an issue because you have a free parking lot here.
And it's a huge parking lot. Yeah. We got really lucky again with Goodwill as a landlord. Their rule for this whole complex, and it's us, Thriftique, and we have a vacant unit next to us, but their whole headquarters, I think I did count at one point when I was going through the permitting process, but I want to say it's like close to 300 spots on the site, and he doesn't assign it to anybody. And
that's
then also
wonderful.
Our busiest hours are typically like 6 p.m. and after on the weekdays when Thriftique is closed and Goodwill is no longer there. So there's just like this nice synergy within the parking lot where we're not stepping on each other's toes.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I mean, parking's great. And we do obviously encourage biking and walking. And the location in the neighborhood's really nice. We have a bike rack outside for that.
And listen, you walk in and you're greeted extra, you know, wonderfully, but you're also offered coffee. You had me at coffee.
Well, there's
isn't that cool?
There's a European kind of climbing model, which I'm actually partnered with people from Finland and Helsinki, and spent a lot of time in Europe. And when you walk into a climbing gym, you typically drink espresso, you rock climb, and then you drink beer, which is like the greatest day imaginable.
It's like welcome to your job.
So I'm trying. I'm working towards that. And, you know, COVID changed everybody's plans, and it ate my espresso machine. But I do have coffee, tea, and some. And we're working towards it. But it's all plumbed and ready for a full espresso machine. We got Kelvin Beans. If you guys have heard of them yet, that guy's awesome. He's the owner's a member here.
Oh, wow.
Loves climbing. So that was a fun connection to make. And I'm working on beer. I'm getting there. I hear
you know,
Jagoff has a good
talk.
Beer.
Beer might be on tap here.
Yeah.
So what?
Cool.
Just I know we have to let you go at some point, but tell me a little bit about technique. We see people chalking their fingers, and I know that one rack over there that we, if you're listening to the podcast, you won't see, but it's different levels of ridges that you have to get your fingertips on. Like your fingertips have to be, what is it, nimble, strong? I don't know what it is.
There's a grip strength that's required, for sure,
it's
and that you
grip
develop
strength.
Over time. It's weird, but
you're getting there,
if you look at my fingers, they're kind of fat and sausage-like, and it's just because tendons thicken over time. So like a bicep, if you want to get your bicep bigger, you exercise it, the muscle breaks, you drink protein, it goes into the muscle and gets bigger.
Okay.
Well, fingers work differently. I'm sure there's a doctor who may correct this or think that this is wrong, but anecdotally, this is true. So the more you just expose your fingers to this type of exercise, the thicker and stronger that they get. But that is more kind of down the line in your climbing career.
Okay.
Technique-wise is more just trying to get the weight off of your hands and your fingers and onto your feet. And that's more body positioning, hip pivoting, the way you place your foot. And even just mentally, if you're in a body position, standing with your legs instead of pulling with your arms.
Yeah.
There's just this innate thing when you get on a climbing wall that you just think it's monkey bars and you pull with your arms.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah. But again, we teach classes and we have the climb set up in a way that reward the correct body positioning. So you might not be able to get to the top if you're strong and you just pull as hard as you can, because I organize the holds in a way that you can't solve the puzzle that way.
So I swore at you when we first came in here, before we started the podcast, I said, is this a franchise? But I want to say, is this going to be a franchise? I mean, or is it even possible?
Because you just negated your good question.
Because really, now I'm so excited. Like, should this be a franchise? Or that's not your...
You want to eat a Jagoff one.
Guys I partnered up with from Finland, they own three gyms in Helsinki.
Okay.
And my directive when I joined, it's called Moments Climbing. That's kind of our umbrella, was to open two gyms in 10 cities in 10 years. And then COVID hit. But I did open a gym in Orlando and one here last year. So I signed two leases in 1 year and built two bouldering gyms in 1 year.
Okay.
So the goal is to grow Moments as a global brand. So we're really the first transatlantic climbing gym ever. So nobody's jumped across the pond, so they say. And it's been nice to have their influence and input on some of the design. I mean, they took us to like a library in Helsinki that had the like big cascading stairs like we've kind of designed here.
Wow.
Their route setting influence. So while we don't want to be a franchise, we certainly want to grow. And we want to grow both regionally, but then also in different cities. And I personally, having grown up in areas like this, like I want to take climbing to places where it's typically not.
That's right.
So like in Orlando, we're the first modern climbing gym, really.
Right.
And, you know, so Florida has a lot of room for growth, which I could see us expanding within. I would love to grow more in the city of Pittsburgh, potentially get a rope climbing facility, which is kind of the thing most people think of, where you have a harness and a belay device. And so there are different styles models of gyms that can gain, but we just need to, one, get a little bit further through the pandemic, and two, just keep getting people in the door before that'll happen. But
oh,
I have high hopes.
Come
I
here.
Love the fact that you designed these walls. Like,
I did.
You thought this, all this crazy, I look at it like a puzzle, and you thought it all up. You just...
Yeah.
Kind of, do you just draw it out on a napkin and engineers make it happen? Or are there pieces...
That's his go-to line.
Or are
there everything
pieces,
happens on a napkin.
Or are there pieces that look like, you know, you say, oh, let's take this. This is a certain level of angle. Yeah. Is everyone unique?
I'm in a unique position in that I worked for a climbing wall manufacturer prior to this. A company called Walltopia, which you can see kind of put up on the walls. Their U.S. headquarters is next to Big Dog Coffee in the South Side. However, they're based out of Bulgaria, and they're the world-leading climbing wall manufacturer. So in that 5 years I worked there, they built 100 climbing gyms. And I was the route setter rock climbing guy, so I ended up designing or being a design consultant on a lot of those. So I got to kind of see and learn all of these things through that in-depth design process over a period of 5 years that taught me what I liked and what I didn't like, and then coupling with the Europeans, I found design trends. But ultimately, the goal was to create a feature on the wall. So kind of like this barrel that we see here that guy's climbing right now, or the hex roof back there, or I call this the box roof. These big eye-catching features that draw you in and then are basically highlighted by the simpler panels next to them. So if you look, a lot of the wall is kind of unbroken. It's one angle top to bottom, or there's maybe one angle cut in there. And then the features themselves have a lot more shape and character to them. And so it draws your eye into that. But again, I measured every single angle on here. So I know the angle of every panel. I made sure I had every angle represented. And I worked with an awesome Bulgarian named Nikolai, who I would do mornings with Nikolai. I'd wake up because they're 7 hours ahead and just design for 2 hours. And I made all these little micro adjustments and tweaks that I know he hated. But in the end, he very much appreciated. And he's actually gone on to start his own climbing wall design company called Altline. And so it was an awesome process. And we did two gyms at once. So I did here in Orlando basically at the same time. This one was actually first, although it got delayed further because of COVID. But another cool thing was, too, that we replicated a lot of the features in Orlando. So if I set a really good boulder problem here, I can actually beam it down to Orlando, so to speak, and they can recreate it there.
Okay.
And I did that when we opened in Orlando. I set some really fun, great boulder problems. And so when we were opening here, I was like, well, I know that thing works. Like, why waste time? And then just replicated that's it here.
Wow.
Don't this is awesome.
The wheel, right? Yeah.
That's
awesome. All right.
Awesome.
Where does everybody find you? Come to this Mecca and just try it out. Because truthfully, I mean, you have to try this. There's no excuse not to come to the heart of the city.
I believe that.
Right?
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, it's your passion. You can totally
social
tell.
Media?
Social media, website.
So Iron City Boulders on Instagram. We have a Facebook, and then ironcityboulders.com. My wife runs all the social media, so DM her directly if you have any questions. She responds pretty quickly. But yeah, any normal social media. And then we're on 51st Street, most notably across from Spirit, which a lot of your listeners probably know.
Joey knows.
Yeah, Joey knows Spirit. He got lost there. A lot of people end up in that parking lot. But yeah, so come
all right.
And visit us anytime.
We asked you some tough questions, but this is the coveted question of the day. Are you ready?
Excellent.
Yeah. You scared? Don't be. First thing that comes to mind in the spirit of rock climbing, Rocky Road ice cream, a Rocky movie marathon, or Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Oh, well, I did write an article on Sylvester Stallone in a business communications class as my business hero. So I'm going to go.
Dude, that is.
And it somewhat inspired my fitness background.
That's
so, yeah, I love Rocky.
I love when I have
yeah.
these crazy questions
yeah,
and you get
awesome.
Something like
that's
that to come out of it. Dean, thank you so much. This was a pleasure to talk with you. Yeah,
thank
we can't
you.
Wait to come back.
Fool. Shut up. I love you. You're beautiful. You're all I need. I'd be a fool to ever set you free. I want
right.
you.
Can I give my little segue into
Do
Joey Purse? All right. So as you know, Roark Honda hosted, I mean, this is a perfect segue. Roark Honda hosted the Pick Up and Go comedy shows last year whenever COVID was in its prime, unfortunately. So basically you just saw comedians on Honda Ridgelines. Literally, they performed on a Ridgeline, Roger, Honda Ridgeline. And so people would come, bring their chairs, bring their coolers, etc., which we've continued to do, but at more capacity. So one of the comedians, Marcus Cox, said to Joey Purse, you should come down and check this out. So for like two shows. We were trying to get Joey Purse to come on, but everything was sort of figuring itself out, and then we had no more shows. So I was like, I had to follow this person, though, because this is some cool stuff going on. Followed, and all this stuff is going on now. You're not just a comedian. You're like this actor extraordinaire. And I went to your Facebook, and you're a TikTok influencer. Boom.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't even believe all this has happened.
She just totally bombed you.
He's you're just like, laughing at me. He's like, what a jackass. So welcome. Finally, you're here.
Thanks for having me. I'm
you're
excited.
You're welcome.
Well, the first question has to be, do you think you could rock climb here? Do you look at these
people swinging around? Yeah,
right?
they look like they're in shape. They probably have great core strength, which I do not have. And I don't want to do it. I'm going to do it, though.
Well, Tracy was like, Joey's nervous. I was like, for the podcast? And she was like, no, to rock climb. I was like, then don't do it. But I don't want to sound like that because I want you to try it.
No, I'm going
to
try it. It seems fun.
Yeah.
I don't want to fall. I might fall. Two cameras.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, I know. You think the paparazzi's here, right?
You're a popular person. So take us through. So first of all, I didn't know you're a Beaver County native?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, for sure.
Beaver County's
cool.
Up there, by the way, not
up
down there, as most pitchers
think. Yeah,
yeah,
it's north. It's
and
north.
And what part of Beaver County?
Aliquippa specifically.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, me and Marcus are from the same place.
I didn't realize that. Yeah,
Then we just do a thing from a theater down there in Aliquippa.
Scott Tatey's Iron Horse.
Yeah. I'm not familiar.
It's an older building.
They took an area.
Yeah, it's a totally cool place. So Beaver County, you're coming out of there, and is life kind of crazy? And what comedians are you following to be a comedian? But now Rachel says you're into the acting kind of part of it. You had a commercial?
Kind of. No. Well, actually, I was. I did do a commercial. Last year, I did do a commercial in the fall. It was for candles, and I got a free candle out of it. I like candles, so that was pretty cool. I don't really – acting is fun. It's not my priority, though. I primarily focus on the online content via TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and stand-up.
So talk to us a little bit about how stand-up – I sort of have been thrown into the stand-up world because of Colin and that gang of people. And
yeah.
We've gotten to know people like Marcus and mm-hmm. Sam Bentley. I mean, they were all on that same show. What is it like to see that Pittsburgh is growing from a comic standpoint, and how do you kind of fit into that puzzle?
I think it's pretty cool. The pandemic, it did hurt the scene because we lost venues and stuff because a lot of places, shut down, unfortunately. But seeing things kick back up and like the truck show that you guys had, it's different. So it was a pretty neat idea, concept. A lot of us appreciated it. It's pretty cool to see guys, getting back into it, get into their rhythm and just see people flourishing and stand up again. So that's pretty cool. As far as me fitting in, I don't know how to answer that question because I don't know what you mean specifically.
So what's it like to be like, when you leave Beaver County to kind of come to Pittsburgh, are you like, I'm going to be a comedian? Or are you like, I'm kind of funny and I'm going to figure this world out?
I basically is like, I think I could do it. I'll try to figure it out.
Yeah.
Cause that's my attitude for everything. It's like, I want to figure it out first and then, pick up the pieces as you go along. So figure out the best way to attack it, like a football or sporting standpoint.
Yeah,
because that's basically how I came up with sports. Sports is very big in Beaver County too. Even though people think like, oh, that's like 40 minutes away. You're around nothing. What do you guys do? We like.
Really?
Yes. Every time I come to the city, it's how people respond whenever I say I'm from Beaver County.
Oh.
And it's like, what do you guys do? Well, we watch sports like everybody else. Like we don't.
We have TVs.
Yeah, like we have TVs. Right,
yeah.
We have phones.
Yeah, we have shoes.
Well, we actually know, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on Felicia's last name. There you go. She is a football coach for Aliquippa.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
She's badass. I love it. I love the fact
very
that
she's a life coach. She's amazing. She's been on the podcast. But so I want to go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No. Tell me a little bit about writing material for a stand-up routine versus material for TikTok, because those are two completely different
things. That's
where
I want
to be,
yeah. That's a good question.
Yeah, okay, so like with stand-up, as far as writing goes, like the structure, it's relatively similar because the kind of content that I make for TikTok is comedic content. So the sketches that I make, I basically have to write a script, but when you're writing a good comedic script for a sketch, the punches and they have to be rapid. Sure. Like they have to come quickly because you have to keep people's attention. So with that and stand up, the structure from a structural standpoint is similar, but the content is completely different. Where I pull from, like on for stand up, I pull from just life situations, observations, and stuff that we would all experience. And for TikTok, I pull from more so the entertainment world and try to make jokes from things that we may see on TV and stuff. As to where stand up, I don't really do stuff like that.
Okay, so admittedly, and you can jump in, but I really have to ask this. TikTok is this new world for us, right? Like, we pride ourselves on the fact that we're not young, but we figured out the world of social media. But then right. TikTok yeah. sort of entered. And so then that becomes, like, my kids' thing. And so they're like, oh, you totally don't get TikTok. But I find myself watching tons of TikTok videos because that's sort of the next thing, right? We're technologically, we're constantly going to the next thing. What is the difference between being, like, a social media influencer and a TikTok influencer? Because there seems to be a distinct difference.
Yeah, normally TikTok influencers are big on TikTok, or they're in only TikTok, or they are a lot bigger on TikTok than they are in everything else.
Okay.
Like they can be, those are normally like the distinctive traits that from TikTokers. And TikTokers have like a distinctive, they act a certain way too, that like you can normally tell.
Like better than everybody.
Kind of. They no, really.
Do you
they
know
they
Brandon Markowitz?
I do not.
He's a big TikTok influencer from Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I don't know, 2.2 million followers.
Oh, that's nice. That's cool. That's
yeah.
real cool.
Yeah.
They a lot of TikTokers have like a cockiness to them. It like you know how there's like a stereotypical pretty boy and stuff like that and stuff like that. That's how a lot of TikTokers act. And so, like, people can always tell who a TikToker is as opposed to like a YouTube influencer.
Yeah.
Basically, okay, so like TikTokers are like the people who talk a lot because they think they have something, and like YouTubers, they don't talk as much because they know they have something. It's like kind of that kind of thing.
Okay.
I'm not saying TikTokers don't have anything because they obviously have stuff, but like that's the attitudes that they, a lot of them tend to
have. What does it take though? I think and my question too is like, so we could do an Instagram reel, right?
Yeah.
And it would probably be, John and Rachel did this Instagram reel. I feel like, can we do a TikTok? Like, do you see what I'm saying? Like, is it just the progression of where technology is going, or is there something about TikTok that's like, it's the thing because everybody is watching them?
I think it's just the new thing. Personally,
okay.
I think it's the new thing because a lot of things on TikTok aren't new.
Yeah, right. You're right.
What was the other 6-second video?
Vine.
Yeah, right.
Vine.
All the Viners have now moved to TikTok.
Yeah,
and they're sort of repeating some of their material over on TikTok because they were so successful in Vine, they just jump over to TikTok.
Yeah, it's nothing new. And musically, you brought up that's what TikTok was, but they rebranded to be more marketable across broader range, but. TikTok's nothing new. I think how they're getting people is with the trends, because they capitalize on their trends and they make trends seem cool. So people are on there just doing a bunch of different videos to the sounds, and it's a lot easier to go viral on TikTok. Everybody wants to be seen. So like the formula for today's age is like genius.
Yes,
it's easier
it's
to go viral. It's very simple.
Yeah.
But it's very easy to go viral, and I think that's why it's the new thing. That's why so many people are doing it.
So I'll share with you. So, you know, my kids, we have a group family chat, right? And my kids will, like, send different TikToks. So my favorite one most recently was both of my boys play hockey, and my oldest, like, is, like, your typical, like, he works out every day, you know, that kind of thing. So it's this parody of this like 19-year-old who comes home, and it's like this headline that says, like, when an athlete comes home and asks what's for dinner. So like he comes through the garage and he has his bag and he's all fit and he's sweaty and he goes upstairs, and like you see him going upstairs. Do you see this? Do you know where I'm going?
And then
like they pan to the kitchen, and on the island of the kitchen is a crock pot, and he's like, oh crap, my mom's making a crock pot meal. Every athlete's nightmare. And I was I'm going to knock you out because my crock pot meals are great, but it frustrates him because he's like, I like specifically want something else, and I see a crock pot and I'm like, son of a bitch, we're ordering pizza tonight. So
it'd be like that.
It's kind of funny.
it's really like
but
that.
But it is
though.
Funny.
It's
like that, there's so many funny things. Like there's so many funny TikToks that I do find myself like chuckling. You know, like said, but it is a simple formula.
I think the coolest thing about TikTok is a lot of videos that do go viral are and one thing TikTok does that Instagram doesn't do, and like other platforms they do it, but it's not as like often like YouTube, is that a lot of TikToks are from everyday lives, so it's easy to relate to them to see is like, oh, I've been a part of that, or this happens to me directly,
exactly.
And stuff like that.
Kiddly,
and I think that's
yeah.
another thing that makes it separate itself from the other social media platforms.
Is that what your comedy is like? Like, do you talk about family? Do you talk about your mother's
yeah,
cooking
I,
in your stand-up routine? Do you talk about...
Yeah. In stand-up, that's like what I do. But in on TikTok, I target... Online in general, I target another crowd. And I talk primarily about anime and video games. So I target that audience online and get them on my side as okay. to stand
That's
up.
That's what it was. Animated video games. I forgot. Yeah. I gotcha.
So then in the comedy world, like give us, I mean, who gets hit the hardest? Your family, your yeah. car, who gets hit the
your
hardest
car.
In your jokes?
Well, my car gets hit the hardest in real life.
Listen, because I'm not going to lie, when we
driver.
Go to Colin Chamberlain stand-ups, I sometimes get nervous. Like, is he taking something that happened in our life and, like, saying it? And then he'll be like, Rach, don't flatter yourself. Like, it's not that funny. You're not that
well,
funny.
At the moment, with my current material, actually, Beaver County gets it the hardest as
oh,
a whole.
Okay.
Yeah. Out of all my content, Beaver County gets it the hardest. I got the most time on Beaver County. and then after that, it would be family, in particularly, okay. All of them can get it. It's no one. It's no one in
safe.
Particular. Yeah, no,
no
one's safe.
Are you a big family, small family?
Depends on how you look at it.
Okay.
Immediate family, I am the oldest of now five.
Okay.
In the immediate family, but as far as like aunts and uncles, I got a ton of them.
Okay.
So in that regard, it's a large family.
So when you had
well, you're
your
Italian, right? Isn't that what you
half,
said?
Yeah, half, yeah, half Italian.
So, I get yeah. it. I feel
that's,
you.
That's some material right there.
That is some material.
Yeah.
Joey Purse, we've wanted to have you on. We couldn't get you on our comedy shows, but we may be having some more. So, you know, don't count that out yet. But we're happy to have you on the podcast. Tell everybody where they can find you because you are an influencer now.
You can find me on Instagram at Joey Purse and TikTok at Joey Purse.
Will you teach us how to do TikTok if we hire you for the
day? Oh, my God.
Yeah, if you guys ask me. That's the thing. Nobody ever asks me, and I've been waiting to teach people.
Dude, you just signed up for something. Really crazy. Yeah,
so we have to tell them here to make a TikTok training booth.
Listen,
so
it is on our agenda. I'm not kidding you. Like yeah. on our agenda right. is like make a TikTok.
Awesome.
Like I put that on my agenda at the beginning of every week.
Question
and
of
then
the
it
day.
Just goes away because we can't do it yet. All right, question of the day. I'm sure you already heard, but since we're here, rock climbing Mecca, first thing that comes to mind: Rocky Road Ice Cream, a Rocky movie marathon, or Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
When I hear rock climbing, I think of falling. Honestly,
no. That's listen. Rachel's biggest pet peeve is when you go off the question.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What were the answers again?
I'll repeat my question.
I failed the test.
Rocky Road Ice Cream, Rocky Movie Marathon, or Dwayne the Rock Johnson?
Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, nice. Isn't he like the sexiest man alive or something? I mean,
I'm not
going to
answer that.
I love him. So you're right.
Where does everybody find you online?
Joey Purse on Instagram and TikTok.
Nice. Yeah, of course.
He's like, I'm not even telling you about Facebook. All right. Old.
All right, so we're going to listen to a little more music from Craig Veltri, and then we're going to talk to Craig Veltri.
You know I told you I'm happy that you're mine. So let me say it so you don't have to say it for the thousandth time. Shut up, I love you. Ooh. Shut up,
Craig
I
Veltri,
love you.
Thanks to
you're
Fusion
beautiful.
Entertainment. For coming to the podcast. And did you get to try the rock climbing yet at all?
I have not. Blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots to this thing. I am not appropriately prepared. Yes.
It was intentional. I hear you. Well, and my thing was, I said to John, you know, I'm afraid of heights the older I'm getting. And he was
me
like,
too.
Mm-hmm. And then I was like, but I have two graduation parties and no time to change. He's like, all right, I'll give you that. So
so I came.
It worked out.
What I did, I look like when I show up at a golf outing, I look like I know what I'm doing because I showed up here in t-shirt, shorts, my Fueled By t-shirt, but I had no intentions of climbing today on camera. I'll climb in the privacy of just you guys.
But we said we're going to come back and do a video.
We are
going to
come back and do a video. Right. Yeah, we are going to do a Jagged Around.
We won't make promises we can't keep. So Craig, obviously we're lucky to have you because of Fusion Entertainment, great group of people, and you performed obviously pre-COVID through Fusion and through other places. What have you been doing to kind of stay on top of things, to stay relevant, to stay a great musician, performer during the COVID times?
Well, truthfully, I'm actually performing for Fusion for the first time this coming Wednesday at Craft House on the 30th.
Okay.
So many thanks to the folks over there for putting me on this podcast. to your question, the
It's mostly a matter of just staying in motion.
Sure.
Mostly.
It was very easy, I think, for a lot of people to just grab a pint of ice cream or a pint of beer and just go through, clear out the Netflix queue as much as possible. I was fortunate that I do ride sharing, food delivery mostly, to make a few extra bucks and make some ends meet, and. Truthfully, it's been an opportunity to clean up a lot of my songs. I really haven't written anything, but much lately. But I do have a pretty long back catalog, and it was punch up time for a lot of ideas.
That's
that
a great point.
Well, it seemed
on.
Like when we interviewed musicians through, because when I think we were talking before we started recording, is that during the COVID part, we like to go on site, but we went to Zoom. So we got the cool thing is we got to interview people that weren't in Pittsburgh anymore. It used to be, but all of the musicians either said, I'm not writing songs because I don't want to burn that out when I get live, or some were saying, yeah, I'm writing songs, but they didn't want to, basically, the common theme was they didn't want to burn all that material during COVID, because coming out of COVID like we are now, they wanted to have new material ready to go to kind of jumpstart the thing. So it sounds kind of like what you did, yeah. And, go ahead.
No, that's very true, and I've spoken to a lot of musicians who had a very similar story, for sure. I just found with me that, I tend to try and write stuff that doesn't, drag people down and try to, because if the songs that I could have written would have turned into a concept album that would depress people more than, anybody who sat through a concept album. But
not true.
Songwriting-wise, now, what's your story as far as just learn music early on, or, you were in a boring job and said, oh, I love music, and kind of jumped away? What's that story for you?
All the above.
Yeah?
The Cliff Notes version. Started learning guitar around 10, didn't like lessons. The guitar would come in and out of the closet every once in a while. And then a great thing happened called the internet.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to go over to Volkwines to buy books anymore. I could just read the chord sheets, and I just started learning progression. Tablature was also a good thing, so now I could see what the chord shapes were. By the time I turned 16 and got my first electric guitar, I was already up to about 50 songs by memory, and they're really in circa 2000. Every song had the same four chords, basically, so I just invert a couple of them and change the key on a couple of them, and it doubled and doubled and doubled, and eventually I started writing, and went to school, got a degree, which I used sparingly, and I quickly realized that as much as I was working on that, I was always writing songs, I was always performing, doing open mics, and eventually a few people got in my ears, like, buy the PA, we'll get you a couple gigs. And that was about 6 years ago. I made the sincere jump into it, and here I am.
Awesome. So what genre do you classify yourself? Mix?
The easy catch-all would be singer-songwriter, and I've thought about it. It would be so much easier for me if I would just latch on to one. Look at me. I am in kind of a country motif.
Yeah, anyway, a little bit.
And
even the song you did at the beginning, country-ish.
I wrote that song in Nashville with a bona fide country singer by the name of Trenton Chandler. Please check this guy out.
Okay.
He's from Texas. He's currently residing in Florida at the moment, and he's killing it, as he always did. And, yeah, we wrote that song sitting in his living room, just jagging around, if you will.
No,
and,
look at that. Nice.
Copywritten.
Well done with the
That's
branding.
Copywritten.
Yeah, he gets 10 points. We'll follow him on TikTok. This is so cool. And tell me, when you're writing a song, what does that mean? You're writing, you're sitting there playing, recording it and learning the chords. Is it literally writing stuff down? And, you know, is it lyrics and music together? What's all happening with that process?
That's a good question. And the process
is
really
3-0. No, this is our competition, just so you know. Is that right? We have, when people say that's a good question, we try to figure out who. So I'm up 3-0 on this.
Let's make this clear.
Podcast, so.
Who puts all this shit together? Me, right? So easy for him to come up with these fabulous questions. Just read the damn paper.
3-0.
I'm done. Grab my
so
paper.
Anyways, that's a good question. Feel free to continue on with that.
Sincerely, that is a good question. And it really just depends on the song that I'm writing. That one was Shut Up, I Love You, came from a writing session. The one that I'm going to play for you in a few seconds called Biloxi, I literally wrote that in the car on my phone, and I already kind of had a chord progression, so once I got home, it was done. And a couple rewrites later, of course. But other times, there's a song on my first record, A Million Miles to Go, available on all streaming services too, called I Don't Want to Say. I'm driving from a bar. I was living in North Carolina at the time, driving from a bar in Charlotte to my apartment. And in a 30-minute drive, I'm singing the song, trying not to lose it because I didn't have a piece of paper with me. So
that's a great way, though. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's funny.
All right.
That's
awesome. All right. Where does everybody find you? Because they need to know. That first song was fabulous. I'm looking forward to the next one.
Thank you. It's on Spotify, iTunes, Pandora. I found out recently Napster is still a thing.
Oh.
So all the streaming services, and I have several dates here, including upcoming at the Craft House on the 30th from 6:30 to 9:30, solo acoustic, much like you're hearing me out of this. Great mix of originals and covers. As we say, I'm pretty much a catch-all, so come out and try me, and if you can stump me, I'll buy you a beer. So
there you go.
There you go. So we're going to listen to Craig on our way out, but we're going to say our thank yous.
Did we do the question of the day?
Oh, I didn't do a question of the day. All right. Did you hear it already?
Actually,
you had time to think.
Here, let's do our thank yous while you get set up, and then we'll do the question of the day from that microphone, right? There we go.
Whatever you say, John.
No, that way.
All right.
All right.
So thank you so much, because we had the opportunity to actually see what real rock climbing is like. We know the levels according to color, and we are going to come back and do a Jagging Around video with Dean from Iron City Boulder. So come to the Lawrenceville location, try it out, and thank you so much to Dean for hosting us. Thanks to Joey Purse, who we've wanted to have on the podcast for about a year now due to his comedic talent and now his influencership in TikToking. And thanks, obviously, to Fusion Entertainment for giving us Craig Beltry for the day. And we get to hear him perform yet again. And thanks, as always, to Roraconda.
Right. Summer 2020 is driving people to events and happenings, and Roraconda is part of that drive. From parking lot shows, hosting comedy acts, to a collab with Mancini's.
Rorick knows the importance of community fun, so head to Bloomfield with a trade in mind and expect a mega summer deal. As always, visit Rorick.com for all of your vehicle needs.
So answer the question first.
First thing that comes to mind, Rocky Road Ice Cream, a Rocky movie marathon, or Dwayne the Rock Johnson?
You know, even though I am an Italian from Pennsylvania who's a little bit slight, I would go with Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
That's
I was
two
a
for
huge
Dwayne.
Wrestling fan
That's
growing
two for
up.
Dwayne.
Yeah.
I might do a Joey Purse and go off and say Rocky Blyer, mother effers.
Oh. For the win.
I'm a Yinzer at heart. I have to say Rocky Blyer.
Nice.
Thanks, everybody. Let's
all
listen.
Right.
This is my new single available on all streaming. It's called Biloxi.
Will you meet me in Biloxi, where we can start again? We'll meet as long lost lovers, or just long lost friends. Make your way and I'll be waiting by the lighthouse on the shore. And if you meet me in Biloxi, I'll be yours forevermore. Oh, how I've longed to hold you, feel the magic in your touch. Thought we weren't meant to be, and it didn't mean that much. And since we've never been, no one'll know us then. They won't know where we went, and we might have a prayer. So will you meet me in Biloxi, where we can start again? We'll meet as long-lost lovers, or just long-lost friends. Make your way and I'll be waiting by the lighthouse on the shore. And if you meet me in Biloxi, I'll be yours forevermore. How I've longed to kiss you. Feel your arms around my neck. Thought the timing wasn't right, and it was for the best. I was wrong, and though I've heard it's a fine place to stay, we won't be long for Biloxi. There we'll make our getaway. So will you meet me in Biloxi, where we can start again? We'll meet as long lost lovers, or just long lost friends. Make your way and I'll be waiting. I'll be yours forevermore. I'll be waiting in Biloxi to be yours forevermore.
Thank you.